Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show for this Monday, August 3rd. I'm Clayton Morris. This is a show where we help you become a more intelligent real estate investor. And we do that by answering some of your questions directly on these Mondays. We do this Q&A episode where you ask the question and we answer them. So you can do that by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's how you can leave a voicemail message. We'll have a link below. In case you're driving, you don't remember that URL, it'll be in the description of your show notes for this episode. So our first question today is a good one. It comes from Brian, and he has a question about cash flow and leverage. Let's listen.
Hello, Clayton, Natalie. I'm an out-of-state investor living in Texas and buying in Indianapolis with the focus on cash flow to replace my income and retire at 56 in 7 years. In other words, I'm willing to sacrifice cash on cash return for higher cash flow. Thanks to your online mentorship, many great books, and a great team, I have taken action and am well ahead of schedule acquiring 7 properties with 8 doors in the last 2 years. My question is, once a cash flow-focused investor approaches the traditional agency debt limits, like number of loans or debt-to-income ratio, should they transition to paying off those mortgages aggressively to further increase the cash flow and decrease leverage, or transition to more creative finance methods and continue to grow the portfolio per the often quoted buy until you die mantra? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian, for that great question. And the answer, honestly, is yes. I don't mean to be funny, but honestly, I could literally answer yes to that question because it depends on what your tolerance for debt is. Should you pay off these properties because you don't like to have too much debt or because you're worried about tenants moving out and they won't be able to pay you know, the rent and you won't be able to pay the mortgages? So the answer could be yes. It could be yes because you're up against that 10 property threshold with traditional financing. So the answer could be yes there. And if you want to continue to do traditional financing with, you know, very low interest rates, 3 and 4% interest, then the answer is yes. But there are also other ways around that. And one thing I will say is to consider non-recourse financing. Now, on our YouTube channel, we have a whole video series on non-recourse financing. And that's something that we do at Morris Invest with our new construction properties. They're already cash flowing with a tenant already in place. And we have non-recourse financing available on those properties. And what non-recourse financing is, Brian, is it's not tied to you, the person. That means with a traditional, you know, amount of mortgages, you're up to 10 and that's it under the federal government guidelines. You can't get more mortgages with your name under your personal name. And you also can't buy it in an LLC. But with non-recourse financing, number one, you have to buy it in an LLC, which you need for liability protection, right? But number two, it's not tied to you personally. That means you could get as many non-recourse loans as you want. It doesn't matter. That's the beauty of non-recourse financing. So I would definitely consider that, Brian. You can also look at doing some other creative options. You know, on our website, we also at Morris Invest have our funding tab at the top. You might consider using that as an option, which will get you 0% interest credit cards through our partners at Fund and Grow. You'll get $500 off if you use that link to do that. And it's going to be way cheaper than closing costs and points that you would get from any kind of a hard money loan. You know, I was able to get up to $190,000 at 0% interest using that method. That's just an option. That's just one option in your tool belt. But I, you know, honestly, I would say look at all of these options. Do you have a 401k that's just sitting there? Now might be the time to leverage that. Move that over into a self-directed account. You know, use non-recourse financing. Also, you look at using some Fund and Grow at 0% interest. There's multiple ways to do this, but you also don't have to be limited. That's one thing I heard from your question, Brian, and you're on the path, man. You're crushing it. I don't want you to be limited in thinking that just because there's this 10 property threshold with traditional financing and you're not able to get more than that, that you're somehow done as a result. You know, to me, that's like an artificial limitation. I just don't believe in limitations. Do you mean to tell me that the federal government is going to tell me I can't get other kinds of financing or other types of loans just because my name is tied to this particular loan? No way. You know, Garrett Sutton, in his great book, Loopholes of Real Estate. Now, he's an attorney, and he is Robert Kiyosaki's attorney. He's a good friend of ours and a partner here on our show. You know, one thing he talks about is the ability to move those properties over to an LLC and be able to, you know, move those loans around and get creative. So I would check out his book, Loopholes of Real Estate, as well. Don't be limited by that 10 property threshold. But again, non-recourse financing is really powerful. Let me just say one more thing, Brian, as it comes to mind here. You know, my rule for real estate investing is three steps: buy, own, and then cash flow. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is you buy with any way you can. Leverage is the best way, right? Using other people's money. But at this stage, in step one, you're not concerned about the cash flow. That shouldn't be your motivation unless you absolutely need it right now. What I would do with that cash flow is just pump as much of that cash flow as I can into paying down that debt. Okay? That would be my focus. Then the second stage is to own it. Now you own it, right? It's paid off. And then the third stage is the cash flow. So in the early stages of a real estate investor's journey, you know, you're in your mid-40s, you know, you're at a stage now where maybe cash flow shouldn't be your primary concern. If you were in your 60s or 70s, that might be a different scenario. But right now, if you have the ability to just focus on building that net worth and portfolio and letting other people's money do the work for you, that's what I would consider doing. So whether it's non-recourse financing or any other type of funding, I would seriously consider that. Now, again, if you do need the cash flow right now, you're living off of that income, you've quit a job, then you're in a different ballpark, in which case I would seriously consider looking at non-recourse financing as a really great avenue to help you really expand your portfolio without having to worry about paying down all that debt right now. You know, the interest rates are so stinking low, who cares? Just ride it for a while, you know? That's my advice. All right, our next question is from Jonathan. Let's take a listen to Jonathan's question.
Hi, Clayton. This is Jonathan. I'm fairly new to real estate and, you know, fairly new as I haven't done my first deal. And I wanted to know, what do you believe is the first investment a newbie should make? Wholesaling, fix and flips, or either buy and holds?
Thank you, Jonathan. A great question about getting started with real estate investing. You know, it really depends on your appetite. Now, if you are going to become a house flipper, that is not an easy job. Okay, there's a lot that goes into finding off-market properties, raising capital in order to buy the property, and then finding a great contracting team, knowing everything there is to know about contracting, to also then start renovating that property, what to put into that property, making sure that your numbers are strong, and then also selling that property. Look, we are in an amazing housing market right now, okay? So like even the prop, let me just give an example. Even the properties that we sell at Morris Invest, like our new construction properties, the appraisals are coming in very nicely above what we're even selling them for. And because prices just keep going up, there's so much competition right now that this is a housing boom, okay? So yes, flipping houses is a great occupation, but it is an occupation. And make no mistake, you are only as good as your most recent flip, meaning it's a paycheck. So when you sell that house, you flip that house, you need to make sure you've got another house in the pipeline ready to go. You know, you can't sit on your laurels and just rest and sit back and say, wow, I flipped that house. I made $40,000. Great. Oh no. Now what? I don't have another house to renovate. I need to go find one, right? So you've got to constantly be priming that pump, you know, filling that pipeline with properties. And it's an art. And you really have to dial in a really strong team in order to become a really, really good house flipper. I would encourage you to watch some of my videos with Jerry Norton on our YouTube channel. He's a house flipper, but he also works with wholesalers who will bring him deals. He'll pay them $10,000. So check out some of my videos with Jerry. And we'll also link it up in the show notes here where you can go through his program to become a wholesaler that actually provides him with the deals. So wholesaling is another great way to get started. That's how I got started. And what it does is it allows you to start learning what it looks like to find off-market properties. You know, if you have no money, then wholesaling is going to be one of the best ways for you to get started. It's a great way for you to go through and figure out, you know, how to find off-market properties, how to find people that will buy the property from you and renovate the house, We have a link on our website. If you go to morrisinvest.com/wholesaling, Jonathan, you can learn all about wholesaling there and really, really do an amazing job and raising a lot of money in a short amount of time. So that would be my advice. You know, buy and hold is going to bring me to my next question. So, Jonathan, what I'll do is I'll kind of answer the buy and hold question with Sam's question. Sam asks a question, and I think I'll tie both of you together very nicely. Let's listen to Sam.
How do you invest in real estate when you have no money? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sam. When you don't have money, how do you get started buying real estate? And so, Jonathan, you know, you're just getting started. What if you just wanted to go right into buy and hold? You don't want to do wholesaling. You don't want to do fix and flip. And you just want to buy real estate and hold it. That's Sam's question, too. So how do you do that? Well, there are three things that you need to become a real estate investor. Number one, you need a deal. Okay, you need a house to buy. Number two, you need money. And number three, you need people. Relationships. Now, if you don't have money and you don't have a deal, then you definitely need one of the three. You need people. Okay. So what I would recommend doing is, you know, developing relationships with people that maybe want to help partner with you. And that would be by going to local real estate meetups, talking with other investors. You know, you might find by going to this real estate meetup that, okay, you meet a person who has money. You meet somebody who says, hey, I have $2 million, Sam, Jonathan, I'm willing to work with you. I will fund your deals if you can find them. Okay, now great. So right, remember the three steps again, right? You need a deal, you need money, or you need people. So now you've got the money, okay, because someone brought it to you. You just need to go out and find the deal. They're too busy. They're a doctor, they're a lawyer. They don't have time to go find deals. Now, what if you bring them a great deal? Now you become a partner, right? You've brought value to the table. You brought a deal to the table. They didn't find it. You did. Now that's how you start to become a real estate investor. Now you could go out and just work with a full service, you know, provider like ours, like our company, and get financing for the down payment. You could work with one of your family members or an investor partner who wants to go in together on an investment. And you split the down payment together and form an LLC. We work with people all the time at our company that do that, that have properties that they want to invest together as friends. They each have $10,000 and four of them get together. They're able to make a down payment and they're able to buy that first rental property. Very, very simple process. So you just need to get a little creative when you start real estate investing. If you don't have the money, and you don't have the deal, then you really need to start making the relationship so that you can go out and find these other pieces of that puzzle. So many real estate investors, when they're just getting started, didn't have the money. I mean, time and time again, some of the smartest real estate investors I know had no money when they started real estate investing. They found the deal and they found capital partners, and that's how they got started. Whether it's with a bank, non-recourse financing, traditional financing, using our funding tab on our website with Fund and Grow, borrowing money from their uncle, using their IRA, using their 401k. There are countless, endless ways to be creative with real estate investing. Don't let money be the limiting factor. Money is just one small piece of the puzzle in this process. That's it. Don't let that hold you back, Sam. Thank you guys for your great questions today. I hope this was motivating and helpful to anyone else listening that might not have had that direct question, but at least might have been motivated to go out and start real estate investing. You can ask your question just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. It's very simple to do. Leave your questions. Hopefully they'll be less than about 30 seconds in length, like Sam's. Sam's was really short. So thank you for that. And thanks to all of you for subscribing. I really appreciate it. And if you have a few moments, can you leave us a nice 5-star review on the podcast app? Or if you're listening in Overcast, just hit the little star. Once you hit that little star, it recommends us and it really helps us out. So thank you so much for all that you do. And now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.